Sorry, we're starting that towards the bottom of Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Bet. So the Gemara here is trying to discover who is the author of our Mishnah. The problem with the Mishnah is that something that you raised, Zvi, I think when we first read the Mishnah, which is that how do you actually get the possessions to the Ubar? How can you actually, from a halachic sense, grant a gift to an Ubar? It's either we have problems with something that's davar sheino ba'olam, an object that's not in the world, or even if you have the object here, it's to a person that's not in the world. So how do you actually consummate the kinyan with some uber? So the Gemara is trying to discover who the author of our Mishnah is. So the attempt over here, we're going to say someone we bumped into in the last parak in Yesh Nochlim is Lemele Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Let's say it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Damar lo shna yusha v'lo shna matana. Right, Rabbi Yochanan does not see any difference between a gift and Yerusha. To Tanan, we have a Mishnah from Yesh Nochlim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Imam Ral Mishra Ra'ui Liyosho, the Rav Kayamim. That if a person in Kuf Lamed, he says, if someone gifts property to his children who otherwise should have inherited him, the redistribution of the Yerusha up to those children is considered Yerusha. I mean, Matana and Yerusha function in the same way. So if that's the case over here, why can't I say the same the Ubar? The Ubar, if Yerusha would work by the Ubar, so too a Matana would work by the Ubar. So when it says, Imer, the Shema Yilei, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the Davar Sheishno Be'olam. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka works. I mean, you're making an assumption that just because he equates Matana and Yerusha, that also means that he can make the next leap, which is that then you could gift to someone who doesn't exist yet. I mean, to an Ubar. So as Gemara says, okay, we know the position of Yochanan ben Broka, but that might only apply when somebody is in the world. I mean, somebody who exists already, or someone who can receive the kinyan, that's true. The davar sheino ba'olam, something that is not already around, or doesn't exist yet, maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka does not think that you can pass the gift to an Ubar. So Gemara says, Mi'amar, who says that? The lay malay, so let's, we'll solve that problem, no problem. Lay malay Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka hi, v'savar lak Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka with the combination of Rabbi Yossi, because we just saw before that Rabbi Yossi believes that you can, Yerusha, go to an Ubar. As we saw before, that Rabbi Yossi says, Ubar koni. Then Ubar is koni. It's not an Ubar posel veno machil divir Rabbi Yossi. So that, we see that an Ubar has some sort of ability, to receive. So, where it says, well, okay, that's very nice. About mi yemar, right, to suffer lo. So who says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka holds like Rabbi Yossi? You're taking two distinct opinions. You're taking the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka who equates Matana with Yerusha, and then you're taking the opinion of Rabbi Yossi who says that Ubar can, because it's Yerusha Me'ala, he can acquire, or he has some sort of rights as an Ubar. So now you want to combine the two of them. Who says that either one holds of the other's opinion? I mean, it's not a necessary equation. Right, and Rabbi Yochanan has to hold the Rabbi Yossi. Right, v'lei malei b'mavsarani. So why don't we just say, we had this case before at the top of the Amud over here. It is the case where he says, we're not talking about the Uber himself, but we're talking about the bearer of the news. See, if he's the bearer of the news, right, then it doesn't matter, because the bearer of the news is in the world, and then you can gift to him. So why is it, Ihochi, the Ketani Seif, what are you going to do with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, V'ein shem yoresh elohu. If there's no yoresh there, is when talking about the Tumtum, if there's no other inheritor besides him, Yoresh Hakol, he inherits everything. Even Masarani, if it's the news bearer, right, or the bearer of the news, or the person who indicates to them what happened, Yoresh Mayavadite. What does he have to do with being a Yoresh? We're not talking about the inheritor himself, we're talking about someone who's bringing the news. So why does he have to be a Yoresh in the Mishnah? So Vele Malay Bishyalda. Alright, so make it easier. It's a case where she already gave birth. So when it says, Yochik, Tani Seifa, then we can do with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Imamar, Kol Masha Teled Ishti. If he says, anything my wife gives birth to, Ito. Or he says, Ito. Then he gets it. What do you mean, anything that my wife gives birth to? It should read, Kol Sha Teled, Kol Sha Yaldami Baile. What do you mean, anything my wife will give birth to? Anything my wife did give birth to? If you're already talking in the past tense, and the baby's already born, then why is the Mishnah using a future tense? Future tense indicates that the baby's not born yet. So now the new suggestion, which will occupy us through most of today's daf, is Le Malay Damar Likishite Leid. When the baby is born, it will take possession of it. So if that's the case, now we solve our problem. Everything's written in the future tense, because we're talking about in the future, the Ubar will take possession when he is born. So that solves the problem of future tense. Number two, the problem of Yoresh. He is a Yoresh, and that's why the Mishnah uses the term of Yoresh. It's not Bimasarani that you're telling me the news, but rather he, the Yoresh himself, is taking it. So then, why isn't that a good solution? Now we have an author of our Mishnah. Why did Rav Huna say, I don't know who the author of our Mishnah is. I don't know who has this opinion. I have an opinion that says that. If you say that the acquisition by the Ubar will take place only once he is born, that that's when the gift will take place. I says that's Rav Huna the Tameh. Rav Huna is going according to his own Shita. The Amar Rav Huna, Afilu kishetei leid lo kana. It doesn't work. Even when you lose the Lashon of, in the future, he will take possession of it, that does not work. So according to Rav Huna the Shita Tei, he can't find an author to Mishnah, he can't find explanation to the Mishnah, because he holds that when you use such a Lashon, it does not help. On the other hand, the Amar Rav Huna, Afilu kishetei leid lo kana, because you have a position Rav Huna that says that even if you use the Lashon of, when it gives birth, or when the baby is born, he will take, the gift is granted to him, that doesn't work. Rav Nachman is of the opinion that if you try to gift or bequeath something to an Ubar, it doesn't work. He's unable to take it because ain't no Ba'olam. But if you say once he gives, once he is born, like once he does exist in the world, in the future that gift will take place, Kanah, it does work. Alright, so Rav Nachman lays out for us a position that by an Ubar, it does not work, but in the future, it does work. As opposed to Rav Huna holds that it doesn't work for an Ubar, and it does not work even when the baby is born in the future. You cannot gift, basically, you can't have a future gift, according to Rav Huna. And Rav Sheshet comes along and says, Echad zev, echad zev kana. Sheshet said, it doesn't matter. An Ubar can be kone, and a baby when he's born in the future can be kone. So now Rav Sheshet believes that even an Ubar can be kone. So now, Amar Rav Sheshet bin Amin Allah, how can I prove to you that an Ubar is also has the ability to be kone? Titania, we have a bright, a ger shemet, a ger that passes away, a ger who passes away, who has no yorshim, what's the status of the ger's property? The ger's property becomes hefker, because as opposed to other people in Klal Yisrael who have, always have what we call memashmesh, the older memashmesh yoreid, they will always have some relationship, because if you're born a Jew, then you have some relationship back to Avram Avinu. So by definition, there will be somewhere back to the Shvatim. You can't go past the Shvatim, we saw earlier in Yeshachlin. But you have somewhere along the way, you'll find a relative that really is the Akarov Akarov Kodem, gets the rights to your Yerusha. That's not true of a Ger. A Ger only has a forward-looking Yerusha, which is he can have children, he has a wife. So those are people who can Yerushim, but behind him, meaning that above him, he has no Yerushim, because he's the first one to enter into Klal Yisrael. So here he dies, and the assumption is he has no Yerushim. Ubizbizu Yisrael nechasav. So in the word here from Ubizbizu, is like Ish Bazazalo, or they came and everybody came to grab what they could. Right, first come, first serve. Everybody came and grabbed whatever they could, because it was all hefker. Then, the Shamu, Sheish Ben, they found out afterwards that he does have a son. Oh, Shaita Ishto Meuberet, or that his wife was pregnant. Right? Chayavin Lachzir. So in that case, they have to return the monies to the estate, because there is a, it's not Hefker. There are others here who can inherit. Hekziru, Ako. So everybody returns the property that they took. They all return it back to the estate. Then they find out his son died. Oh, she pila ishto, or his wife miscarried. So now this Yoresh, the supposed Yoresh, who was possibly there that forced them to return all the property, then he goes ahead and he's no longer existent. He passes away. Somehow, that potential Yoresh, or that Yoresh, no longer exists. So once again, the Ger's property is Hefker. So then, Echzich Bishnia. Kana, Ubishona lo Kana. The second time around, and this second time, after the death of the son, or after the miscarriage of the Ubar, those that take possession of the Ger's property that time, they get to keep it. But Rishona, the ones who took it at first, do not get it. Even though in the end, what happens in the end? The son died in the end, or the Ubar, right, the fetus was miscarried. So in the end, it was true that even when the first people took it, there was no Yoresh. Despite that fact, their kinyan is not a good kinyan. But the seconds are those that took it after the news, or after it happened, their kinyan is a good kinyan. So Marseh, he says, V'isakadatcho ubar lo kana. If you think an ubar has no possession, lama lohu afzuke b'shnia, afzulei chadazimna. Why do the people who take possession the second time get it, and not the first people? Meaning that, if an ubar is not kuneh, then the ubar is as if he doesn't exist. It's as if he doesn't exist, then the first people came to the Ger's property, took it. Now you have an Ubar. An Ubar is only a potential inheritor. He's not a real inheritor, he's only a potential inheritor. So since he's a potential inheritor, okay, we wait and see.
But if the Uber is miscarried, that means that he never took possession of the property, or he never had any sheikhut to the Yerusha. He has no sheikhut to the Yerusha, then the first people who took the property are the real owners of the property. What do you have to say otherwise? And that's what Sheshi points out, that the Uber was a Yoresh, b'me'imo. So now when he's a Yoresh, when this fetus actually inherits the property, then when he is miscarried, he then relinquishes control of the property. That's why those who took it second or after the miscarriage are the ones who own it, not those that had it at first.
Okay,
so fine. He agrees. Okay, made beno, but no, it's clear that the second people will get it, not the first. But he's saying, how could you include that same case, a nubar? A nubar, unless he's yoresh, is not the same case as a ben who's alive. What is it? So what do you see? That's exactly Rav Sheshi's point. You see that the Braita is comparing a ben who's alive to an ubar. They're drawing an equation between the two of them. So now, the answer should be somewhat obvious, because we said this yesterday. Abaye is going to answer the same thing we answered yesterday, which is in the position of Rav Yossi, which is Amar Abaye, Yerusha ba mele ashani. Right? You're talking about Yerusha. When you're talking about Yerusha, that is something that happens without any activity. You can passively inherit. It's not that there's a Yerusha, that there's some sort of gift, some sort of kinyan that takes place. You can be fast asleep and inherit. Right? Meaning inheritance is not something that has to have something active take place. It's simply a passive, passive transference of ownership. And this comes back a little bit to what we spoke about before, the difference between Yerusha and Kinyanim or Matana in general. Yerusha works by the fact that the individual who is the Yoresh really becomes the Morish. He steps into the shoes of the Morish. So stepping into the shoes of the Morish does not require any formal Kinyan, doesn't require any exchange at all. Just to step into the shoes of the Morish, you just have to be, right, eventually or somewhat able to take over his position. So that may be true of an Ubar, that may not, to be a Kenyan or to give a Matana to an Ubar, that's a different story. There you're trying to do it through the process of Kenyanim, or being an active transference, that the Ubar cannot participate in. He can't participate in active transference. What he can be a participant in is passive transference of property. So that's Rabbi's answer. Rava says, Shani Hotam Derefuye Marfian Biyadayo Miikara. They had a weak Kenyan to start. So over here, both cases, Abai and Rava are trying to explain why is it that the second people take possession of the property and not the first, yet not prove what Rav Sheshis is suggesting over here, that an Uber is Konel. So Abai says, okay, we're talking about Yerusha here. Yerusha is different. Now fine, yes, an Uber can accept Yerusha, or he can passively receive Yerusha, but he can't be the recipient of a gift. So the explanation of this braisa is simply that the first people don't get it because the uber being alive, or the fetus is able to, right, you be yoresh. So his ability to be yoresh eliminates the first kinyan of those that try to take it. When he is miscarried, then again he relinquishes that kinyan, and that's why the second people got it. That's Abai's explanation. Rava says, no, you know what? Even the first people has nothing to do with uber or koneh. Even if he's yoresh, maybe he's not koneh. I'll explain it to you. You know what it is? It's that the first people who came and made a kinyan, they had no idea about the ger's children. They didn't know if he had a child. They didn't know if his wife was pregnant. They didn't have all the information. When they didn't have all the information, they went and made a kinyan on the property. Their kinyan was suspect or subject to question only because they were making a kinyan when they weren't sure that they really were entitled to make such a kinyan. So their kinyan is a little bit what he calls weak. Their kinyan is not a full-fledged or gemirat halev that they're really taking it because they are unsure or uncertain that they may have to give it back. They find out there's a son here, they find out there's an uber here, they'll have to give it back. So when they made the original kinyan, they did it half-heartedly. So because of that half-hearted kinyan, therefore when they find out there really is an uber, or they find out that there is a son, they're going to have to actually hand it back. Because, again, by the son, it's obvious that they hand it back because the son is the real owner. But by the Ubar, even though he does nothing, he owns nothing here. He's not Koneh, he's not a Yoresh. Nevertheless, they have to give it back because their first Kenyan wasn't a real Kenyan, a real Gmir Talev, a full-fledged Kenyan over here. And therefore, they have to hand it back. It's only the second people who know for certain that there's no Yorshim over here that they make a full-fledged Kenyan over here. No, his Ishto is still around. Right, the Ishto is not. Yeah, Ishto does not inherit. She's a Baal. That was what the Mishnah says. A Baal, right? No chelud Ishto, ve'no manchil Ishto. Right, that is. Inherits his wife, that does not grant to his wife.
So it's like these people heard, they knew this guy was a ger. They heard the ger died, and they said, all right, Right, here are tactics. First thing you do is you go seize the property, just in case he's got an ownership.
All right, you ask questions later.
Right.
You come in and then you ask questions later. So that's basically what Rava suggests. The Gemara wants to know, might be not you. What's the nafka meaning between Abaye and Rava's position? Both according to Abaye and Rava, the first individuals don't get the Kenyan, the second individuals do get the Kenyan. So why is their opinion? What's the difference in their opinion? The Gemara wants to suggest, it's a case where they heard that he had passed away, and he was still alive. And then he really does die. So it's funny, the Rashbam says here, Lashonot Rabim Shamati. I heard many explanations for this. And they don't make sense to me. But here, let me explain to you what this means over here. They had the ger dies. And then in the first case by Rava, he suggested that the Kenyan is a weak Kenyan because they're uncertain about the Yorshim. They're uncertain whether there's a Ben or if there's someone who's pregnant. But now they hear that that his wife was pregnant and she miscarried. So now they're certain that there's no problem here. So they go make a Kenyan. Now the problem is when they made the Kenyan, right, they did make a full-fledged Kenyan. But the problem is that the Ubar is really still alive. She had a miscarriage. They're under a misconception about the Ubar miscarrying. So now, according to Rava, the whole problem before was their mindset when they made the Kenyan. Their mindset was the Kenyan was they had uncertainty about the Yorshim. Over here, we solved that problem because their mindset is clear. They think there's nobody here, and they're making a full-fledged Kenyan. Now they find out that they were wrong, and there's still an Ubar around. But according to Rava, that makes no difference. Because the Rava says that a Ubar is not Yorish. So if an Ubar is not Yorish, their Kenyan is a full-fledged Kenyan until the Ubar is born. Now the Ubar is miscarried, really is miscarried afterwards. So their first Kenyan was a good Kenyan, and it remains that way afterwards. Whereas according to Abaye, since an Ubar is Yorish, when they made the first Kenyan, and then they find out that the Ubar is still alive, the Ubar is in possession of the property, and their Kenyan, their first Kenyan, was an invalid Kenyan. They have to wait until the miscarriage of the Kenyan, then only a second Kenyan would be good. So the nafka mina between them, again, is where they have the mindset of the Konim. Will be the nafka mina between them. According to Abaye, it's irrelevant, the mindset of the Konim. It all has to do whether the Uber is there or not there. According to Rava, it's the mindset of the Konim, whether they think or don't think that there's a Uber, a possible Yorish, because that'll change whether they are full-fledged Kenyan or just doing a half-hearted Kenyan with the possibility that there's no Yorish over here. So that'll be the nafka mina between
them. Uber is born and dies before 30 days. Still have the status of the Uber?
No, we're going to see in a second that Ben Yom Echad is enough. That is one day is enough. Yes, that's the next Gemara here. Tashma. It's Mishnah in Nida. Tinok Ben Yom Echad Nochel Umanchil. So this is a Tinok that is one day old, is Nochel and Manchil. He inherits. Inheriting isn't so hard, but Umanchil, but then he grants also. So now the Gemara says, Ben Yom Echad in Uberlo. It's very easy here to make a deal, the Mishnah. That's clear that the Mishnah is indicating that it has to be a day old. A day old in order to be nochel and to be manchil. So if that's the case, that implies that an ubar, a fetus, does not. So that'll provide a kasha to Rav Sheshes. It's a problem for Rav Sheshes. Now, the Gemara's question in Nida has nothing to do with our Gemara over here. Our Gemara has to do with whether an Uber is Yoresh, an Uber is not Yoresh. That's the Gemara's question over here. The Gemara in Nida is asking a totally separate question. They want to know, what is the case where an Ubar can be Nochel and Manchil? Why? Because let's say there are a bunch of brothers here. They have a bunch of brothers. And the father has property. So now the father passes away. He passes away. Now, what's your question? Is the Ubar a brother or not a brother? Does he inherit or does he... Manchil is not Manchil. Let's think about this. What's the difference? If the Ubar inherits and then dies, meaning that the wife miscarries, or the Ubar is, or the boy is born, and it's a Yom Echad, and then he dies. Now, what are you going to say? So the brothers get it. So let's think about this. What does it make a difference whether the Ubar was ever owed Nochel or not Nochel the property? The brothers are either going to get the property because of their father, it's coming from their father, or they're going to get it because he's their brother through the father. So it's irrelevant whether the Ubar or the Ben Yom Echad ever takes possession of the property should be irrelevant in the case. Because either way, the brothers are the Yorshim. They're either Yorshim because it's from their father, or they're Yorshim because it's their brother. So why does it make a difference to us that it ever ends up, or that whether we think the brother inherits or doesn't inherit? Either way, his other brothers will inherit him. They'll either inherit him, or they'll inherit from the father because he got no possession. So the Gemara neither wants to know, why do we care? Why do we care that this brother is Nochel Umanchil? It should be irrelevant to us because as long as he's passed away, then the brothers are going to get it either because it's from the father or from him. So you're not telling us any information or anything that's valuable. I said, will in a second. That happens to be one of the answers, but it's not so clear. This is going to be something new that the Gemara introduces over here about Bechor. That is one of the answers. The first answer comes from Rav Sheshes, which is interesting. So Rav Sheshes himself is answering the case. So Rav Sheshes over here answers the there in the Gemara Nidah. It works for the Gemara Nidah, but also would help over here. Rav Sheshes, Nochel b'nichseim, l'anchil achim min ha'av. So this is the question. The question here is about the baby's ability to inherit his mother. So we said before, and this is from the Gemara Neshi Ochlim, that a child, the mother is alive, and then the child is born, then the child passes away. If the child passes away, then he does not morish to his brothers in the grave. This baby being in the grave does not help his brothers. So if he was alive, he would inherit his mother, and then if he inherits his mother and then passes away, his brothers through the father would get his mother's property. The problem here is that he predeceased his mother. If he predeceases his mother, then the mother's property does not go to him anymore. When he's in the kever, he's not the true inheritor of his mother, and the property of his mother will go to the mother's family, and his brothers will not get their hands on it. So now, it's already passed away, right? That's the right, obvious case that his father, otherwise the husband would inherit, of course, right? So over here, so now, this is what Rabbi Yeshayahu says. That's the Chiddush in the Mishnah in Nida. Why is there a nafkamina whether he's alive or not? Why is there, what does it matter that this brother is Yoresh and then Morish? Again, before, if we said it from the side of the father, it's irrelevant. Because even if he's Yoresh and Morish, they could have gotten the same property through their father directly. They don't need the brother to pass it to them. What do they need the brother for? They need the brother to pass property from his mother. If they don't share a common mother, then this child can pass property from his mother to them. So it's important that he is...
Mother dies that day, and he dies...
afterwards, subsequent to that, that subsequent death...
One day.
Right, that subsequent death of the baby, it's not an impossible case, right? It happens, right? Could happen easily in childbirth, right? The danger of childbirth, you could have something like that. You can have a case, right? Binyamin's born, and then Rachel passes away. If Binyamin didn't survive, right, which is a possibility, then you would have had a case where that this is exactly the situation. So therefore, Binyamin, in this case, can inherit his mother Rachel and pass the property to his other brothers, Reuven and Shimon, who were born through Leah. They share a common father. So that's the solution. But now the Gemara says, okay, but dafka ben yom echad, aval ubar lo. When it comes to this, it's only by a born child, not by an ubar, my taimo. What's the reasoning? Do my teresha, right? So because if he dies first, vein a ben yoresha timo bekever, anchil achin minav, that a child cannot, right, inherit, it cannot pass yusha in the kever. If he's passed away, if he predeceases his mother, then there's nothing to talk about, because if he predeceases his mother, he never inherited from his mother. If he never inherited from his mother, he can't pass that Yerusha to his brothers. So therefore, if he's an Ubar, right, there's nothing to talk about. An Ubar can't take care of this situation, because if he's an Ubar and then dies, right, then you don't have... If he's an Ubar and then dies, that means that he's predeceased his mother.
This is the general would be arranged.
Right.
And it's only because the
Yehovah
predeceases the mother
of the year. Right. So that's the case. That a ben cannot be Yoresh's mother bekever when he's already passed away to give this property to his brothers, the chimnaf, the memra. So that says, to whom might Yoresh? Right? So that the suggestion here is that he died first. Meaning that if he predeceases his mother, that is the right, that's the problem over here. Because if he predeceases his mother, it doesn't help. So he has to be born in order to help him. So that if that's the case, Rav Sheshes now is explaining why. Number one, what's the Mishnah Nida? The Mishnah Nida, why is it relevant that he is passing property to his brothers? That's relevant when he's passing property from his mother to the brothers, because they don't have access to that property without him. So that's the relevance of him as a Nochel and Manchil. The second question is, why only if he is a Ben Kayama and not a Nubar? The answer to that question is simply because a Ben is only Yoresh Imo if he's alive when his mother passes away. If he's not alive when his mother passes away, then he's not Morish to his mother. So the need for him to be born or Ben Yom Echad is a technical problem about a son inheriting his mother, not a answer or a shita about whether an Ubar is Yoresh or not Yoresh. So technically, if an Ubar
right, would be able to be Yorish. That's not the problem over here. The simple problem over here is that you need a child not to predecease. Right, exactly. And that if the Ubar is Yorish and his mother, I mean, obviously his mother's still alive when she's miscarrying, right, then there's nothing to talk about. So now, the Gemara says you can have a case like this where the mother, you know, happens in, unfortunately, in a car accident that the mother dies and the Ubar is still alive and then she miscarries afterwards or the Ubar dies afterwards. So you could have a case like this.
Sometimes the Ubar survives for the rest of his life.
Right, oh, there, right, he could live and be a Ber Kayama. Right, the case they're going to bring here is a Memra. Right, Dumai Vahau. There was a case like this where the mother passed away and then the Ubar was born, right? Or somehow the fetus came out, Ubar case, and it was still moving. Tlata Pirkuse. And it moved, it still moved three moves, or it was still in motion. So the suggestion here is that the baby, now the mother's, the underlying assumption of the Gemara is that if the mother dies, that the Ubar automatically is dead. Right, that's the assumption here, because otherwise the Rav Sheshet's answer doesn't matter, because you could have an Ubar, if you think that the Ubar can live without the mother, and if the mother has passed away, that the Ubar can continue to live, then you have a case where an Ubar could still inherit his mother, because he lives longer than his mother. So the Gemara's underlying assumption is that if the mother dies, the Ubar is dead also. That the two, that it can't happen where they don't either simultaneously, or that the Ubar predeceases the mother. So Gemara says, well, we had a case where the mother passed away, and then the Ubar was born, and he was flopping around. So Mar says, "Amar Ravashi, midi dehava azanav azanav al ta'a." Right, that you have shemifar keset. It's like the lizard's tail when you cut it off; that it still shakes around. So it's a, you know, what we know as a psik ratio, the same idea that after you cut off the chicken's head and it keeps running around, right, it's not a sign of life, rather, but it's just this, and the nervous system is still continuing to, the brain sent messages before, right, the head was cut off, and so those electrical impulses are still in the body, but it doesn't mean that the Ubar is alive. So this is, again, the underlying assumption of the Gemara here, which now stands, is that the Ubar cannot survive his mother, meaning that he will never survive his mother. Again, a lot of that it has to do with modern day technology. It's not so, right? In their day, it was probably very, very unlikely or almost impossible for the Ubar to survive his mother without the ability to feed the baby, without the ability to take care of this baby, unless she was at full term, right? It would have been a very difficult situation. But she's at full term already, then they don't call it an Ubar anymore, then it's a baby that's born, a Ben is born. So here you're talking about a fetus. So you have to have an Ubar that could last longer than his mother. And in those days, that really wasn't the reality. And then even if it's born and the head starts to move around, that's not life. That's just simply the residual nervous system that causes that movement. All right, so now, that solves Rav Sheshet's problem. Now we're going to have two other suggestions about what the Mishnah Nida means, and this is what you raised before, Shoal. Marbrei de Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rav Amar, Lomar, Shememait v'chelek b'chora. Then no, this Ubar affects, or the child affects the chelek b'chora. Why? The Dafka ben Yom Echad, only if the child is born does he affect the b'chora. Aval Ubar, lo. An Ubar does not affect the chelek ha-b'chora, my taima, v'yodu lo. It has to be born. V'yodu lo banim, that has to be born. Amar Rachmana. So what, this happens to be, it's an interesting case now. What happens if you have, for instance, you have 12 maneh, or something, 12, number some 12, that exists. And you have two children. Two children exist as a bechor and a second child, and the Ubar. So now, if you consider the Ubar a full-fledged child, right, then there are three brothers here. So if I look at the three brothers, you have to divide the property into four. If you divide the property into four, each one will get three, plus the bechor will get an additional three. So the bechor gets six, and everybody else will get three. But if the Ubar is not considered to be here, if the Ubar is not considered to be here, then what would the Bechor get? You only really have two children, so the Bechor will get eight, and the other son will get four. But now, the Ubar in the end is going to be born. He's going to be born, he's going to be a real child to be a Yoresh. But he doesn't affect the Bechorah. So there's two pieces to the Bechorah. There's Chelek HaPshitut, the regular portion, but there's the Chelek HaBechorah. So what do you have to do? You have to look at it in two sections. You have to say, okay, let's think about this. The Bechor, he doesn't affect. So we have to look at the property before the Ubar is born. Before the Ubars are born, there's only two brothers. And that means if I divided the property, how much would the Bechor get? The Bechor would get, the additional portion of the Bechor would be four. If you had two brothers, then you divide it up between the three ways, that's four. The Bechor gets eight, and the other child, the other son gets four. So this Bechor is entitled to eight. That means that his Chelek HaBechor has four, and his Chelek HaPshitut is three. So now we say that since the Uber has no effect on the Bechorah, we give the four up front to the Bechor. Now the child's born, and what's left over from the estate is eight. Eight is left over from the estate, now they have to divide it three ways. Because there are three children now. There's the Bechor, the Pashut that was already born, and now the Uber that's born. So now if you take 8 and divide it by 3, it's 2 2/3 to each child. So it'll turn out now that the Bechor will get 6 2/3, and everybody else will get 2 2/3. So I mean, the extra additional 2/3 that the Bechor gets is because his Chelek Bechorah is divided prior to the birth of the Ubar. Alright, so that's one answer of Marv Rav Yosef. Then, Damar Marv Rav Yosef, Mishmei Derava, Ben Shonolad Achar Mitat Aviv, Inu Ma'id B'Chalek HaBechorah, that a child born after the father has passed away has no effect on the Bechorah. That's only on the Chalek HaBechorah. He's still an entitled Yoresh from the Chalek HaPshitut. My time of Yodolo Amar Chana. Now, V'ha Lekha. And he's not around. He wasn't born when the Chalek HaBechorah is being distributed. B'Surah Matnu Halchi. In Surah, they learned this way from Marv Rav Yosef to Mishmei Derava. But from Petita Matnu Halchi. And from Petita, they learned this way. Amar Mei Bramar Bered Ram Yoshe Mishmei Derava. B'chor Shinolacha Nolad Achar Mitat Aviv. If a B'chor is born after his father has passed away, Einu Notel Pishnaim. He doesn't get the Chalek HaBechorah. My time, why not? It says Yakir. Amar Rachman V'aleta the Yakir. It says that the father has to recognize the child or recognize the Bechor. I'll explain you the case in a second, right? Right, it's a strange case. So you have to, Yakir has to be, the father has to actually be Yakir him. Now, not that the father has to see. You could be a Bechor and a father can never have seen the child and he's still a Bechor, as long as he had the potential to see him. Problem here is that he never had the potential to see him. So that's what the Rashbam answers. The Rashbam says either it's a case of twins or two mothers, like Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah both conceived prior to the death of Yaakov, and then after Yaakov passes away, Reuven and Yosef are born. Alright, so then you have one of them is the Bechor, and one's not the Bechor, one precedes the other. So they're born Bechor the Ima, and Bechor the, right, both of them are Bechor the Ima, but only one of them is Bechor the Aviv. And they're born after their father, so over there you won't get a Chelek HaBechorah, or Tomin, twins that are born. Again, twins can be born after the father's death, the first twin will be the Bechor, the second twin will be the Pashut. In that case, there is no Chelek HaBechorah, because the father's not around, it'll be Yakir. Now if the father exists, and he doesn't see him, then it's still Yakir, because in potential it could have seen the Bechor. So that's the other possibility of Mar Brei de Rabbi Yosef Mishmei de Rava, right? That Bechor doesn't work. A Ubar doesn't have effect on Bechorah in both directions. He can't be the Bechor, and he also does not diminish the Chelek HaBechorah, because Ubarim are not included in the whole parsha of Bechor. That's basically what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara says, V'hilcha kechon hani lishnei damar mar b'rei Yosef mishmei d'rava. The loch is like all these lishonot of Mar b'rei Yosef. So Mar b'rei Yosef had, right, both statements here, which is one is that the Ubar does not diminish the Bechorah, and number two is an Ubar cannot be a Bechor. So both of those statements we pass on the Lacha like him. Only one of those statements is useful in explaining the Mishnah in Nida. The interesting thing, by the way, is that here it's Rav Yosef, it's Mar Debrei de Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rava, explaining the Mishnah in Nida. Now when he explains the Mishnah in Nida, he's explaining why it could be that it has to be a born child and not an Ubar. So if it has to be a born child, not an Ubar, because he thinks, or that sounds like he thinks, that an Ubar could be Yorish. But he has comes up with the case of a Bechor that solves the problem. But Rava was the one before who answered up the Mishnah of Rav Sheshes, the Braisa that Rav Sheshes brought about a Ger, and he said that it's a case of Refu Yadayo, that an Ubar is not Yorish. So one place you have Rava saying that an Ubar is not Yorish, and over here we have Rava saying that Ubar is Yorish. So the Rashbam asks, he says, how could it be? Rav has two sides. Rav has two sides of the coin here. So listen to this line in the Rashbam. I'll just read it to you. Rav gav d'teir tz Rav l'el d'shaymi hotam d'mikar rufuye mifrei v'yadeo v'at l'meimar d'ubar eno yorish. Rav already explained over there eno yorish. Shita ta gemara huzeh. Azul hacha v'kamed achile. Azul hacha v'kamed achile. This is the shita ta gemara, and we see it in many places, that the gemara will take the other side. Whatever your position is, they just want to show that you can't prove it from what you're bringing. So even though Rava may not hold, right, that Uber is Eino Yoresh, he may hold that Uber is Yoresh, but he wants to show Rav Sheshes that I could explain that Mishnah, that Uber is Eino Yoresh. It's not Mukhrach from that Braisa that you brought, that your position is right. And same thing over here. You want to prove from this Braisa also over here that you can explain it like this, I can explain it somewhere else, and I will also have it. I mean that, if you want to prove that Uber is Eino Yoresh, from this Mishnah, I can show you an explanation in this Mishnah that says that Uber is Yoresh. So Rava just gives you the explanation on both sides. It happens to be in this case that the Halacha is like that. And the Halacha is like Mar Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rava in these two cases. So it will work out in this case that it sounds like that Uber might be able to be Yoresh, but it's an issue for Bechorah, not an issue for division of Yerusha. Right now, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaMezakel Ubar Lo Kana.
So Rabbi Yochanan states what we've said until now in the Mishnah, that a mezakel ubar lo kana. Someone who grants a gift to a ubar is not kone. Vim tomar mishnatenu. What are you going to do with our Mishnah here? That means the Mishnah here in Bava Basra. The Mishnah here says that he's gifting this money to the, if his wife gives birth to a zachar and a keva. Sounds like he's gifting it to a ubar. Hoel v'datosha adam kova itzel beno. Since a person's mind or his mindset with his child is different than any other person, therefore he can grant it to the child. This is an amazing thing. There's an exception here. That even though in general you cannot grant gifts to people who are not in the Olam, who do not exist, and Ubar is not a recipient of gifts in general, that is not true by a father to a son or a father to a child, because the father's mindset with regards to a child is so close that he's able to give over the gift even though the child's not around. So what we have to suggest over here is that the whole idea of Davar She'eino Ba'olam or Davar She'eshno Ba'olam or She'eino Ba'olam, that whether the object, whether you can be Koneh Davar She'eino Ba'olam, meaning that the object is not here, or the recipient not here, is a problem or a choser in Gemirat Hadat. It's a choser in the ability of the Makneh to fully give over, right, the property, because there's something lacking. Either the object's not here, or the recipient's not here. So his kinyan is like a, like what Rabbi suggested before, like a half-hearted kinyan. So when he gives over a half-hearted kinyan, we say that the kinyan fails. But when it comes to his child, what's Rabbi Yochanan suggesting? By his child, he doesn't give a half-hearted gift. There is Gemirat Hadat. Why? Because the child itself is what generates the Gemirat Hadat. When it comes to a father gifting to a child, he doesn't think about whether the child is born yet or not, whether the object is here or not. He's simply thinking about the child. And the child, he has a certain Kirvat Hadat that allows him to have a Gemirat Hadat even though the child's not born. So what is true of a child will not be true of Kinyonim in general. He could not be makneh this to his nephew, who is an Ubar. He cannot be makneh to a Ubar, someone else's Ubar. That would not work. But when it comes to his own child, that Kivrat Hadat allows him to create a Gemirat Hadat to have a full-fledged Kinyan, even though it wouldn't work in any other place. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion to explain our Mishnah.
Now, if we're explaining anything,
right, right. But this, according to this explanation, it would help you explain the Mishnah, right? We don't have a Tana, but the Amoraim are presenting positions that could suggest it. Now, Amalei Shmuel Rav Chana Bagta, which is interesting. Shmuel says to Rav Chana Bagta, so who's this Bagta? The Rashbam says, Bagta is min Baghdad. Ir, right? Shnolad, but that was the city he was born in. Uchtivi Rav Shrira, he nizkeret. It's mentioned in the writings of Rav Shrira, because they were in Bavel, which later becomes Iraq. But Baghdad is the city, right, that he came from. It's interesting that the Rashbam goes that his way to explain that Baghdad is, right, a city, which is in Bavel or in Iraq. But that Bagta over here, the Gemara is using Bagta as being Baghdad. And so he says, Pog Aitili Be'asara, go gather together 10 people, and I'll say in front of them, Mazaka the Ubar Kana. So he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and says that if you're Mazaka to an Ubar, it works. The Hilchata, the Halacha is Mazaka to Ubar Lokana. If you're Mazaka to the Ubar, you're not Kuneh. So now, in this case, you can have, to our Mishnah, there are three possible solutions to the Mishnah of how to explain our Mishnah. One explanation of our Mishnah could be what Shmuel just said, that a mezakeh l'ubar kana, like Rav Sheshes, that you can be mezakeh to an ubar. That's one possibility of explaining in the Mishnah. It's simply that it does work. You can be mezakeh to an ubar, and it works. One possibility. Number two could be the explanation of, we saw before, of Rav Nachman, and even Rav Sheshes also, is that when you say k'likeshet teleid, when it will be born, it will take possession of it. That will work. It doesn't work according to Rav Huna, but it works according to Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet, that if you are Mazak in the future, that the Uber should be Koneh, that will work. So that's another possible explanation of the Mishnah. And there's the last explanation of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, in general, an Ubar is not Koneh, but here it's a unique case of a child. Right? A father to a child can create such a situation. So you have three possibilities of explaining how the Kinyan works in our Mishnah. It can either work because it's a normal Kinyan, that's Rav Shmuel and Rav Sheshet. It could work because he's doing a future kinyan, the kishet eleid, that's Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshet, or it could be that it works here, but only here. And that's unique to this case in the sense that Rabbi Yochanan suggests over here. Right, so now, he says to his wife, Nichsai l'b'nai, de'yabu lo minach, all my possessions will go to the children that are born from you. So at the break, Kishisha, his older child comes along from another woman and says, what's going to be with me?
He says it in the third person. What are you doing? You're disinheriting me from the possessions. You'll inherit like one of the children. So the other children from this woman definitely did not get a gift. Because they don't even exist in the world. How can he grant a gift? Not only that it's not an ubar. Forget about the cases that he's granting to an ubar. Over here, they're not even born. His wife's not even pregnant. He's saying all future children you have will get it. You can't grant a gift like that. Everybody agrees. No gift like that exists. So there, in this case, there's clear that the new children or the children to be born will not get any exceptional gift here. The only question is, the only question is about the previous child, this older child, what's his right? So now let's say, for instance, there are all these children are born. He has three children, four children later on. So this child will, the older child will divide amongst them. The father has five children, they take Yerusha, they'll divide it amongst them as five parts. The only question is that this older brother, the father made a statement to him. When he says, what's going to happen with me? He says, you will get a portion like the other brothers. So when he says, give you a portion like the other brothers, does he mean just you'll be a regular Yoresh? Or does he mean you'll get an additional portion, period, and then everybody else will split up the Yerusha? I mean, I'm granting you an additional portion because I know that I just disinherited you. So the problem is that his disinheriting didn't work because he can't grant gifts to children that are not born. The question is, with the child that is alive, right, the one that is alive, where his gift does work, did it work? Because there he said, what does it mean? That it cholek letayah b'makom b'naya. Does he get an additional portion outside of the brothers? Meaning that, say for instance, there are four brothers now, including him. So do we say we divide the estate into five parts? He'll get one part, and then whatever's left over, they'll divide between the four of them. So, or do we say no, that you look at the whole estate, and then you'll divide that four parts by all of them, they'll each get a four and a quarter, a one and a quarter. See, the question here is, does he get an additional portion or not? So Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Meshav, Rabbi Yirmi Darmei, it cholek the tayyib amakum naya. He does get an additional portion. Before they distribute the estate, he got a gift. He'll be granted that gift, and then the Yerusha will take effect. Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak, Naf, Darmei, Leit, Cholek, Tatayi, B'makom B'naya. They say no, that he doesn't have any extra rights. The whole reason that he granted him the extra rights is either because he thought he was disinheriting him, and that failed, or because he just said, you'll be like one of the brothers. If he says, being one of the brothers, that means he gave him an extra gift. He says, you'll be a regular Yerush. So Amalei, Rabbi Bo, the Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Bo comes and asks Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hilchusa Kavatan, or Hilchusa Kavataychu. So look like us, or like you. So Amalei, Pshita, the Hilchusa Kavatan, listen to this answer. It's clear that the Loch is like us. This is what Rabbi Yirmiyah says back to him. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that he does get an additional portion. I'll tell you why the Loch is like us. Because Shishna Minaychu, we're older than you. Right? It says, V'lav Hilchusa Kavachaychu, the Darkeyatun. You guys are young spring chickens. You guys are young kids. Of course the Loch is not like you. It's like us because we are older. It says Amalei, Mita B'kshishuta Tayo Milsa. Since when does age have anything to do with Psak Halacha? Age is not the determinant of Halacha. But Taimo Tayo Milsa, who has the right reason? Who has the proper reasoning over here? So he says, V'taimo Mai. He says, okay, so what's the reason? So Rabbi says back to Rabbi Bo, what's the reason? So he says, Zil Legabed Rabbi Avin. He says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, listen, you know what? Go to Rabbi Avin. That's Vrata Nehale. I already explained to him the reasoning here. Meaning that Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Avin are of the same opinion, right, that he does get it. So he says, go to Rabbi Avin, I already explained to him. If you're Karkish Lebay Resha Bay Midrasha. And when I explained to him the reason, he shook his head in the base midrash, indicating that I was right. So you go to you who are in the same position, you're quoting Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Yirmiyah, you're of the same position. And I already explained, Rabbi Bau says, I explained why you're wrong to Rabbi Avin. And Rabbi Avin went like this, so he indicated that he was right. So go to your, you know, the person in your same sheet, and you'll find out why you're wrong. So Azulagabe. So he went to Rabbi Avin and he says, Amalei, Ilu Amalei Kani Kechamor Mi Kani. If you say to someone, listen, you get a part of my Yerusha, just here's a gift like the donkey. So he says, can you gift to a donkey? No. So if you can't gift to a donkey, when you draw equivalents and say you get a gift just like a donkey, so just like the donkey gets nothing, you get nothing. So it's the same thing over here. When the father granted the gifts to the other children, he says, Matana, you get, I'm granting all my property to the future children born to this woman. All right, did that work? No, they're all get zeros, because he can't do it. So then when he says to his other son, you inherit like a portion like those brothers, he's drawing an equation between a zero and him. He's saying, you get just like them. They don't get anything, so you get nothing also. So that's what it says, because the idmar kani kachamor lo kana. If someone says to a child or to an individual, you take possession of this like a chamor, it doesn't work, because just like a chamor cannot be koneh, so too the individual indicates to be koneh like a chamor is not going to work, because its premise, the equation or the stipulation or the formulation of what he is saying is that you are like the chamor, meaning that just like the chamor is koneh, you'll be koneh. Since the chamor is not koneh, so too you are not koneh. And the same thing over here, just like these future children are not koneh, so too the older brother is not koneh. We'll stop.